Early this morning, we received from the FBI a preliminary report concerning the explosion in an automobile in the vicinity of Bel Air. I'd like to read to you that telegram. It says, reference your case involving automobile explosion south of Bel Air, Maryland on March 9th. Residues typical of and consistent with those solid deposits remaining after detonation of a dynamite found on parts of automobile. Not possible from examination of residues to determine the brand, percentage strength, amount, or type of dynamite. Explosive specialists who conducted on-the-scene examinations of opinion that the explosion occurred inside the automobile in front of the front seat of the passenger on the right side. An explosion charge so positioned would logically be resting on the floorboard area of car where the explosion occurred. It does not include the glove compartment, dashboard, or parts of automobile where explosive charge could have been concealed from view of persons occupying front seats. Parts of key wound clock, characteristic of wet clock manufacture, found in automobile debris. Fragments of mercury battery or batteries among items reportedly removed from the body of the victim, William H. Payne. Above clock and battery fragments could represent an electrical firing system for a bomb. Not possible to determine what caused explosive charge to detonate inside car. Additional laboratory examinations being conducted and laboratory reports being prepared. Now, we will have available for you copies of this telegram. I also have here with me Colonel Smith from the State Police and Dr. Spitz, the medical examination of the medical department. Dr. Spitz conducted his investigation completely independent of the FBI investigation, and I'd like Dr. Spitz to report to you the results of his examination. He has photographs here if you care to look at them. We also have some diagrams here and some photographs taken at the scene. And we want to make all the information available to you that we have at the present time. If Dr. Spitz would care to, I'd like him to comment at the present time on his opinion and results that he has found of the explosion that took place.
I'd like to state, before I go into the opinion, that I arrived at this opinion at about 9 or 9:15 on the morning of the 10th of March, which was Tuesday. I'd arrived at work that morning at about 8:15 or 8:30. My conclusion was that William Payne, who was positively identified after a lot of things that were to be straightened out, as William Payne, born December 28, 1943 in Covington, Kentucky, and that he died of injuries sustained in an explosion of a bomb which was located in an automobile in which he was a passenger of the right front seat. The pattern and the distribution of the injuries indicated that the deceased was bent forward with his arms in close proximity to the explosive, which was located on the right front floorboard of the automobile when the blast occurred. The explosive, I do not believe, could have been located under the seat to cause the same type of injuries and yet leave the back and buttocks intact. Featherstone, Ralph Featherstone, was the driver of this automobile, and he sustained injuries very much consistent for a driver of an automobile in which a bomb is located on the right floorboard, because his body was damaged on the right side, exclusively breaking the right leg and braking, the right arm as if the arm had been in an upward position holding the steering wheel. There was evidence of fire, but to a very minimal degree, with singeing of the hair of the legs and depositing soot on them. The soot made a very nice, straight, vertical line on the left shin line, indicating also that the fire had come from the right side. I think I'd be glad to answer any questions, should you have any.
What about the battery?
The battery, mercury battery, was found in the head of Payne. If you position the body for a minute in a straight standing position, the battery would have entered the mouth and traveled practically horizontally parallel, in a line parallel to the floor. This is one of the reasons why I thought that the seat was bent forward at the time of the explosion, actually facing the explosive, so that the battery would travel upwards in a face turned downwards.
Have you drawn the conclusion that the person on the right was actually holding the dynamite gun?
I don't know whether he was holding it, but his hands were in close proximity to it. The arms were blown off from the elbows down.
Was it possibly between his legs? Yeah,
that's possible.
I
don't know if it's between his legs or in front of the legs or in front of the seat, but the position of the bomb was on the floorboard in front of the right front seat, yes.
The glove compartment
was recovered by the police, and I think Colonel Smith can give you the significance of that. The glove compartment has been eliminated as a place where this explosion might have taken place. Also, the back of the glove compartment has been eliminated. The reason for that is that the damage to the glove compartment indicates again that the force of the explosion came from below upward towards the glove compartment. If it had been in the glove compartment, it would have blown outward. Instead, the damage indicates that it came forward into the glove compartment.
I think Sergeant Travers' testimony will,
if you'd like to,
clear a lot of this up.
Well, we'll let Sergeant Travers show you the photographs that he has here and give you the explanation of them as he gives them to you.
What is his name, sir?
Sergeant Wilbert, W-I-L-B-E-R-T, Travers, the Investigation and Identification Section of the Maryland State Police. Sergeant Travers will give you the information that they have as of right now.
The first series of photographs here are of the overall scene area. This being an elevated photograph, this one is grade level. This is the main portion of the vehicle after the explosion occurred. The front portion, the front wheels, engine, front frame, crossmember, and bumper were down in this area. The small fragments that you see, the white fragments you see, are cotton batting commonly used in seat cushions and automobile headliners for cushioning material. This series of photographs relates the position of the window regulator, that mechanism which raises and lowers the windows of the car. The top photograph being the doors. This is the two-door sedan, 1964 Dodge Dart two-door sedan. This is the right door, the left rear quarter glass, the right rear quarter glass. If you look, you can see all of these levers in an up position, indicating that the windows were in fact shut at the time. This photograph, and we did borrow a car, a 1964 Dodge Dart two-door sedan, so that we could facilitate reconstruction as nearly as possible of the many, many fragments that we This is a interior picture of that vehicle showing the heater controls, heater defroster and fan knobs. And if you look closely, you can see those holes where those knobs would have been on this vehicle, indicating that the dash, this portion of the dash, was blown up and back and up. This photograph here is another photograph after more of the material had been found and placed in its proper location. Looking forward, you notice the dashboard here, and you get a force or thrust coming from the right side of the vehicle up and to the left. The glove compartment would be at this point here. All of the damage done to the glove compartment door was an arc of thrust in an upward angle right across the base of the door. Had this charge been inside the glove compartment or back under this area, the glove compartment would have been bowed, the door itself would have been bowed out from the relief of the concussion. Also, the dashboard, all of the parts of the dashboard were found. And although they were in three separate pieces, they were all found. And further indicating that the explosion was not behind or under the dash. Again, we have the sample vehicle we were using, and this area is the right door sill area and the right front seat and the right floor area of the sample vehicle. The floor in the 1964 Dodge Dart is a drop floor, approximately 3 inches drop from the sill point. In other words, from here down to the floor is approximately 3 inches drop. The bottom photograph indicates two pieces of metal which initially were joined together in a tubular type fashion, as this is. The explosion occurred in this area, blowing this portion of that sill out, as you can see, and down. Also, the inside portion down. It's interesting to note in the governor's mention of the telegram that mention was made of clock parts. This particular vehicle, a 1964 Dodge Dart, does not come equipped from the factory with a clock, nor is there a position in the vehicle to place the clock, so that we can conclusively say that this clock was foreign to the vehicle.
Sergeant, you also recovered the speedometer.
Yes.
Give the speed indication.
The speedometer was recovered and the needle was jammed at 55 miles per hour, indicating that the vehicle would have been moving at the time. The final chart is a triangulation chart of the scene area itself. The vertical road here is Bel Air Road or U.S. Route 1. The crossroad is Tollgate Road. The direction to Bel Air is north, in this direction. Point A is point of detonation. Point B is the point that the largest portion of the vehicle came to rest. Point N is where the front wheels, engine, front frame cross member, and front bumper came to rest, some 176 feet further down the road. Point C and point D, respectively, are the locations of the bodies that were found. Point H here is interesting to note, is the roof panel of the vehicle that was blown off and back over a large hedgerow, approximately 150 feet out into a field. I think
it's interesting to note that where Featherstone's body was recovered, that the steering wheel was also recovered in the immediate vicinity of his body. Isn't that correct, Sergeant? Indicating that when the explosion occurred, he had the steering wheel in his hands and it just traveled with him when he was ejected from the automobile. I think the one of the photographs may show this. I'm not positive.
This is, at this point here, is point C referred to on the previous chart where the Featherstone body was located. And here is the steering wheel and steering column of the vehicle, just a few feet from where the body was located.
That was right at the intersection?
Pardon me?
His body was at the intersection?
Yes, his body would have been at the southeast corner of the intersecting angles of Tollgate Road.
How far from the point of detonation?
From the point of detonation?
76B.
The other body?
The other body was 17.4 feet in an angular, in an angle from the main part of the vehicle. The overall distance was then roughly 61 or 62 feet from the point of detonation.
Governor Mandel, as governor now, what conclusion do you draw?
Well, we're not drawing any conclusions. We're just trying to present to you the evidence as it has been gathered together at this point. The FBI is still continuing their investigation, their laboratory experiments. I might also add that there were two, and you'll correct me on this, Doc, there were two strains of wire found in the
wires were found in the trunk, rather than in the skull.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
And, they're about 3/4 inch long pieces of wire. They both in approximately 6 or 7 inches from each other in the lower part of the chest cavity.
We're not trying to reach any conclusion at this point. We're merely trying to give to you the evidence as we have it, as the FBI in its examination has determined it, as the medical examiner in his independent examination has determined it. At this point, it has not been estimated. We haven't any evidence to indicate any answer to that question at this point. We have no evidence at this point. No, I have not. I have no idea. As I understand that the trial is to be reconvened Monday morning for the purpose of meeting with the attorneys involved. Whether the selection of the jury will go forward at that point, I don't know. That would be a decision to be made by the court. I think that you can get a fair trial any place in Maryland. Yes, I do.
Does that rule out the possibility of a large quantity of dynamite cast in the
box? No, it doesn't rule out the possibility, but there is no evidence found that there are any large quantity of dynamite caps in the car. Dynamite is a form of explosive that has been identified as being the explosive that was in the car.
Most likely.
And we found no evidence of that.
No evidence, and we discount that theory.
There was, at the time of the explosion, there was a state police car proceeding down the road ahead of this vehicle. The exact distance ahead, I can't tell at this point. But that car, when the explosion took place, felt the impact of the explosion. The car was sort of rocked. They turned around and came back to the scene of the explosion. In addition, there is a witness who was, if you have the diagram of the scene, who was traveling up the route right there and making a turn in front of the vehicle as it exploded. This car was literally picked up off the street and dropped back again and did witness the explosion of the automobile. Well, there's a picture of the scene of it right there.
Yes, there was a cratering effect, an area approximately this large, 18 inches across, probably at its deepest point, an inch and a half deep, that had a very definite appearance of a clawing type of action.
Dr. Smith, the battery was found, the whole battery, sections of battery?
No, there was one battery in its entirety found.
What size is that?
It would be equivalent to the size of, to the circumference of a penny, and roughly 4 or 5 pennies high.
Do you have that x-ray?
I have the x-ray.
You have the x-ray right here, which can show you exactly what it looked like. Just hold it up to light it.
You have to have the light behind it.
Like a hearing aid battery?
Yes, exactly. That's what it looks like.
That's the
X-ray of it.
It's my understanding that a 1.5-volt battery can, in fact, detonate a plant.
Well, we're perfectly happy to have Congressman Conyers come over and view all of the evidence. We are continuing with the investigation as completely as fully possible. We don't intend to stop or to discontinue. What we have presented here, as I said before, we're not jumping to conclusions. We're trying to present the actual evidence as it was found and what it shows.
Hello?
Yeah, hello, is that the end?
I'm interrupting.